Welcome to the Old Presbyterian Meeting House Sermon Podcast, where faith meets everyday life here in Alexandria, Virginia. We're glad you're here. Now center yourself, take a deep breath, and let's dive in.
This is the hardest Sunday to preach. No, not because it's the last Sunday in Lent. Not because it's a glorious day and it would have been so nice to have worship outside this morning. And not even because we're all so eager to get to the chili cook-off. It's because Youth Sunday was last week and it's always a tough act to follow. It's some kind of cognitive dissonance to go from last week's joyful theme of light my path with the sanctuary decked out in hot pinks and oranges and yellows, illuminated with lamps and stars hanging from above, back to Lent, staring not up, but down at a valley of dry bones. The whiplash of images from last week today is a bit like our glorious 85 degree weather not 10 days ago, followed by a drop of 50 degrees and snow. Yet Ezekiel's vision has struck a nerve for centuries, with 80,000 references on Google through art, music, literature, and even pop culture. Our youth shared some of their experiences walking in the path of God's light last week, shining through beloved role models and growing closer to God by following other light-bearing people, but also wandering in some times of darkness, like living with chronic illness or fear for a friend moving somewhere safer amidst current ICE activity in our area. It's always a journey towards God's love and will for us, whether we're guided by a star in the night sky or a vision of a valley of dry bones reconnecting and resurrecting before the prophet's very eyes. Can these bones live? God asks. Since God is God and we are not, we assume God surely must know the answer. Do we? During this Lenten season of contemplation and sacrifice and preparation for Easter, we pause to ask, where in our own lives do we feel dry, living in survival mode, without purpose or hope of any improvement or healing? The ancient prophet was talking about Israel's national hopes shattered in the midst of social isolation and on the verge of economic collapse. But it sounds almost contemporary, doesn't it? A sociology student once asked Margaret Mead what she considered to be the first sign of civilization in a community, expecting the cultural anthropologist to talk about clay pots and whetstones. But what she said was the first sign of civilization in an ancient culture was a bone, a femur, that had healed from a break. Mead explained that in the animal kingdom, if you break your leg, you die. You can't run from danger, hunt for food, or go drink water at the river. Injured animals become easy prey. Literally, no animal survives in the wild. Discovering a healed broken bone in an archaeological dig is evidence that someone cared for the injured, took the person to safety and treated the wound and tended to them until they recovered. Helping another person through difficulty is where civilization begins. it's also who we are as the body of Christ. Even when we may feel like we're a little more than dry, brittle, lifeless bones, held together with weary sinews, barely breathing, sin sick, almost dead inside. Loneliness and a sense of profound isolation have been on the rise ever since the pandemic. Without nearly as much personal interaction, anxiety, depression, and disconnection have left so many high and dry. The sinews of society that bind us together are wearing thin and falling away from solidifying our identities as communal beings. Doom scrolling in our rooms alone is a far cry from the telling the stories of our lives around primordial campfires, as we did for eons. Traditionally, part of the Lenten journey is about time for individual reflection, turning inward for contemplation. Yet in some ways, I feel like this might be a time for reconnecting to each other in order to connect with God. This is the time, this last week in Lent, to stare down how we've separated ourselves from God, to identify where, deep down, our spirits are dry, and how our bodies are feeling so lifeless. Can these bones live? The prophet asks. How? Well, we can draw on some traditional Lenten practices that have never been more important or meaningful. Prayer, which intrinsically links us to one another, even when we're not here in the sanctuary, maybe especially then. One of our youth last Sunday talked about forming new practices like letting go of sad music and complaining and adding daily gratitude for friends and family and complimenting loved ones abundantly. I love that. Those are forms of prayer. Taking the first steps toward God, building practices so God can light our paths daily. Some of our faith traditions have long practiced praying for others at a distance, historically from monasteries. We can still do that too. Praying for a world in pain and crisis. The body of Christ has continued to be nimble and adaptive, most recently in our era, through online worship. Even teeny tiny regional churches are live streaming with nothing but a willing teenager with an iPhone and a Zoom subscription. This digitally mediated sacred space has opened up so many opportunities for all those who haven't been able to be physically present in church for ages, who've been part of the body of Christ from a distance, including the faithful in war-ravaged places where priests have been live streaming for years, presiding at the Lord's table without bread or wine or buildings. In any era of changes, from the advent of the printing press to worldwide shutdowns, we adapt and expand, trying to let God breathe new life into what can feel lifeless and dry, same old, same old. It's just different. Prayer is still prayer. Many of us prefer gathering together to see familiar faces as we contemplate and glorify God and the mystery of God's world. But we can also pray together from different spaces using one of the myriad helpful prayer apps like Echo or D365. Ask the young people in your life to walk you through how to do that over chili today. Can these bones live? We ask each other. Traditional fasting in Lent can be a stumbling block for a lot of folks. In my last church, there was a tradition of our youth fasting as part of a 30-hour famine, a program to raise funds and awareness about global hunger. Parents, including me, worried about the impact of that on growing bones. So I offered alternatives like social media or electronics fasts, which can sometimes be even harder for my youth. For the rest of us, it's not too late to try a total news fast, between now and Easter. Or maybe a fast from unrealistic expectations. Or fasting from hurtful words that harm others, as the Pope has encouraged us to do. The spiritual idea is sacrificing our usual lives for the greater good as the body of Christ, to help each other in everyday ways. The basics, bare bones, good bones. We're called in Lent to be humble and gentle with ourselves and our families, to support and protect each other, being generous with our time and our patience. Giving is another profound ancient practice for Christians, especially during Lent. So many are suffering economically. Lent calls us out of ourselves and our own needs to give generously, to buy an extra bag of groceries for a vulnerable neighbor or for our open table breakfast, to send funds to one of the many mission partners we support here, locally and globally. Immigration sweeps and the war on Iran continue to ravage communities. So many need life breathed into their fragile existences. Like Mayor Gaskin's initiative, which she floated at a recent clergy council meeting and has recently publicized, to give hundreds of families facing eviction from public housing a fresh start by settling the $1 million in back rent owed the Alexandria Redevelopment and Housing Authority. Where will this giving come from? Alexandria's churches and faith communities, led by a huge pledge from our neighboring Alfred Street Baptist Church. That's what hope looks like right now. Can these bones live? God asks us. We've done it before. Some of you may have planted victory gardens as children during World War II and waited for years to hear if your family members were still alive. So many following that era, like my dad, were stricken with polio. Many, but not all, recovered, staying home for months on end, separated from the rest of their family. Another generation of us faced the AIDS epidemic, which changed the course of relationships and our perceptions about social justice. And on 9/11, we knew we would never be the same. But we went on, and we'll continue believing in the trustworthiness of a loving creator who breathes new life into us, who strengthens what is lifeless, who mends the broken places. We can't do it ourselves. So we turn to God and the Holy Spirit. This scripture passage is all about restoration and renewal in the midst of trauma. Ezekiel envisions our complete resurrection from a valley of dry bones, prophesying from captivity in ancient Babylon. And it calls to mind other valleys. Walking in the valley of the shadow of death, as the psalmist described. But shadows imply a source of light on the other side of the mountain. Our lives may feel like we're walking in the dark, not daring to fully live the lives God calls us to, as we fear for our kids, our nation, and our planet. But we need to see the glimmer of possibility that God is trying to open us to, calling us out of graves of despair, breathing new life into our brokenness, even in our grief, longing for a past that felt safer, stronger, simpler, even in our fears in the present about everything from gun violence and nihilism to ongoing wars and new humanitarian crises, even in our anxieties about an unknown future, we know deep in our bones that God is not done with us. The mystic Teresa of Avila said that Christ has no body but ours, no hands or feet on earth but ours. Through our eyes, Christ looks on the world with compassion. On our feet, Christ walks to do good. And with our hands, Christ blesses the world. So we continue to find new ways of being renewed and resuscitated by forming practices that let God breathe new life into us. Dry bones can't resurrect themselves. We all need to take a part in helping the Holy Spirit to lay on connective sinews, like reaching out to a family member with a well-timed text, or breathing new life and joy into friends going through the worst of times with support and affirmation. Like the good bones of a house in need of some love and restoration, God is working with us and through us to build on them, preparing us to emerge as a resurrected Easter people. Can these bones live? Yes. Oh Lord, yes. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. We are glad to walk beside you in faith, reflection, and community. We hope today's sermon spoke to you. If so, please share it with a friend. Find us online at opmh.org/podcast. And until next time, may grace and peace go with you.